You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands,
but it's Don. Not!
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
Just on Ray Rowe.
On TeeWee.
Not TeeWee, and of course...
No Michael K!
I am Anthony Pusick, in for Peter Rosenberg this week, and we start off a little differently. Usually we say good evening to Dan and good evening to Mike, but I figured we would say good evening to our friends on the show. Usually, hi, Michael.
Don has definitely thought about Dan Grosso nude.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Wow.
Don, how are you?
I've never had a dream about Dan.
Okay, so somebody's lying. Michael, how are you?
Oh, you would take Gross because you want to make out with him.
Wow.
Wow.
Don?
Gross is not bad looking.
We do this about once a year, Dan, where I just play these for you, just to make you...
So it's good to hear from the guys, at least.
It's nice to hear from the guys.
It's good for the guys, you know, and they're going to be back soon.
And you're an instrumental part of... had been an instrumental part of our show, and now... starting on Monday.
That's right.
7 to 10.
7 to 10, baby.
7 to 10.
Locked in. Let's do it.
Are you excited?
Very.
Yeah.
You can't tell?
Oh, no, absolutely.
I wouldn't have showed up this week if I wasn't excited about starting the show.
I'll tell you, it's quite the warm-up.
It is a good warm-up.
The four-hour show.
Four-hour
vehicle. As opposed to the three-hour show.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, but we're gonna knock it out of the park, as they say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, well, here we go. Guys, we've talked about it all day. The Jets have signed Dwayne Brown. 2 years, $22 million per Adam Schefter. Of course, the Jets were in discussions with Brown before Mekhi Becton's injury on Monday. I imagine those talks ramped up significantly after Monday's injury and what we found out on Tuesday that Becton will most likely be out for the season. Still haven't heard from that second opinion, but my guess is that he's probably out for the season. We had Damian Woody on, about 30 minutes ago, and he spoke about the Dwayne Brown signing.
I think it's a good move. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's been to multiple Pro Bowls, a veteran in his league. I know he's getting up there, but he's still a veteran that's played some solid football last year. And, you know, one thing you want to do is make sure your young quarterback is protected. This is a big year for Zach Wilson, and being able to bring in some reinforcement never hurts.
And we said he's going to be 37 at the end of August. He doesn't have OTAs. He's barely going to have any camp. We asked Damian if that's going to be a challenge for Brown.
The one thing about being a veteran players know their bodies better than anyone else. So the thing with Dwayne Brown is he might be in shape, but he's probably not in football shape. But fortunately for him, they still have a month to get him ready as far as getting in physical shape before week one. So Dwayne Brown, I think he's like 37 years old. Obviously, he's probably going to have to be managed from day to day. But he's a veteran. He should know how to get himself ready to go.
Now, Dan, you mentioned this earlier in the week about Ryan Khalil and how that worked out for the Jets, and he clearly was not in football shape and not ready. Not sure what Dwayne Brown's situation is, but it seems like a move that was necessary given the situation.
I got a great Ryan Khalil story that illustrates that point that you just made, but I'll save it for another day. I'll save it for the bonus DVD.
Well, that's exciting. Yeah. I didn't know we had a DVD.
Yeah, we did. For the for the Yes vehicle.
Oh, I see.
When we have.
Oh,
but this is a radio only this week here. I would like to think, Mike, and you've been in these shoes, I would like to think that Joe Douglas and company have some certainty about where Dwayne Brown is shape-wise.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think they have to have a path to get him to where he needs to be. I think what they're probably certain about is this is the best possible option they can get, and it's not about what he looks like on, you know, August 11th. It's really more about what he'll look like by September 11th.
No, but I mean, if they thought that there were any concerns, though, that he wouldn't get to that point, come September 11th.
Right.
They wouldn't ahead with this, though, would they?
But based on my experience, guys, chances are he's not in great shape. It's just hard to replicate the discipline and the cadence of an off-season program and what would now be several weeks into training camp. I mean, that's why you have training camp, and that's why you have the structure and off-season program. So I think what it's more about is like what we could project in 30 days. And, you know, give them credit. You know, they went out and with their hand they were dealt, they try to make the best possible move they could.
Is that a hard decision to make, Mike, to know that a guy probably isn't in the shape that you would want him to be, but knowing that when he is healthy or when he is in the shape that he needs to be, he could be very helpful for your team?
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things, Anthony, where it's like, you know, it's probably like me being here for the week. You know, you looked around, you couldn't get anybody that you really wanted and said, like,
I don't think that was the case.
You
at
know,
all.
And you went alphabetically. And, you know,
let's go down the list and see who's here. Yeah. He can't do it. He can't do it.
Yeah. No, in all seriousness, like you realize that, like, hey, we're sitting here, like, good offensive linemen just don't grow on trees. What is the best possible solution given the situation we have?
Well, and didn't I say it earlier in the week, too? Like, anybody who's worth a damn is on a roster already.
Pretty much.
Like,
yeah.
You're right. Not out on the street just because you want to be out on the street. You know, there's a reason to it. So I think, though, hands down, I'm willing to roll the dice. Jets were willing to roll the dice that he was going to be a better option than maybe any other in-house candidates at this point in time.
And we'll, of course, see the Jets tomorrow against the Eagles pregame right here, 6:30 on 98.7 ESPN, hosted by Greg Buddle and Dan Grosse.
There you go.
That's right. Dan will also be there. So Dan and Greg Buddle.
6:30.
6:30.
There's got to be some free food to have Buddle showed up.
Well, you know what Buddle's in charge?
He always brings the food.
He always brings the food. But you know what he's in charge of specifically, what we put him in charge for this week? The Box of Joe.
Which for me and Dan will be
critical.
Essential.
Critical.
I would say. More so.
Because we got the show. You know, we got to do the show tomorrow and then right, boom, onto the air for the Jets. So we don't have a chance to get out and, you know, pick some stuff up. So I told Greg, I said, Greg, you're in charge of the Box of Joe. You got to bring that bad boy in.
No days off, no hours off.
So we can stay caffeinated.
That's right.
It's important.
And does he handle those responsibilities well?
Anthony, right?
It's unbelievable.
Fantastic.
It's unbelievable what he comes in with every weekend.
Better when it comes to adhering to his responsibilities when it comes to bringing food and beverage as he even was as a player.
And fantastic at cornhole.
Whoever said he was good as a player?
Well, he's on the 100th anniversary team. He'll remind you every 5 minutes.
Greg will probably stop in and join us tomorrow. We could have that conversation with him.
Oh, he's definitely joining us at some point.
Of course. Well, he has to be here. I would hope he's here by the time we're off the air.
Yeah, he's not shy about hopping on the air. He'll do that for sure. And as you said, great cornhole player.
Is he really?
Great cornhole player.
Sometimes, Mike, those fourth quarters get a little long with the team over the years. So, you know, you make the best of it. We have, you know, things out there in the hallway like the cornhole. And go ahead and throw a couple.
Really is quite the time here on a Sunday. So Jets tomorrow.
We have fun.
Jets tomorrow. We do have fun. Giants tonight. Giants take on the Patriots in Foxborough. It has been reported that from Mike Reese of ESPN that the Patriots will not play Mac Jones and most of their starters. The Giants will play their healthy starters, allegedly. But as we heard earlier from Dan, Pat Leonard tweeted out that Kadarius Toney not playing. And it's not a matter of – it is a matter of health. He didn't finish practice on Tuesday. And they're saying that he is staying back in – jersey for rehab, and we also know that Leonard Williams will not play tonight. But for Chris Canty on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max earlier today, and you can hear Chris sometimes on Greeny, but all the time with Canty and Carlin on 1050 from 3 to 7 on ESPN Radio nationally, he thinks that it'll be very important for one Jones to play tonight, and that would be Daniel.
He needs to get the reps, especially in a new offense, right? This is going to be his first go-round trying to operate Brian Daboll's system, so you want to be able to get him those live reps. And I get that joint practices play a role in that, and the Giants are slated to have some this preseason, but also being in an actual game situation, right? Having to go from series to series, looking at the pictures on the sidelines, and then trying to make adjustments. Those things matter in terms of being able to get Daniel Jones to a place where he's able to be more productive than we've seen him in his first 3 years.
So Daniel Jones will at least get some reps tonight, which I think is important. And of course, you don't want him to get hurt. But I don't know. I put some emphasis on these
just
reps.
Don't get hurt.
Don't get hurt.
Really.
But if the Patriots aren't playing their starting defense, what are you really getting out of these reps tonight?
No, I don't think it's nothing. I think it's, again, it's the repetition. It's having a new play caller. It's having no pre-snap penalties. It's having no turnovers. Get them out there for 15, 20 snaps. Get them a little bit of momentum and then get them out.
See, this is why Mike Tannenbaum, GM, I sit here.
But then once you get to week one and they're in Tennessee, and despite all the good things he might do or the flawless execution and stuff like that during the preseason, if it backfires on him, let's say in week one, then almost like this stuff kind of falls by the wayside. Well, look, I get what Mike's saying, but unfortunately.
So did you prepare for today's show?
Do you think I prepared for today's show?
I think you
thoroughly.
Did.
I think thoroughly.
And if the show doesn't go great, does that mean like you shouldn't prepare in the future? Of course you should prepare. So preparing is just part and parcel of trying to put yourself in the best position possible.
But we don't get judged on preparation.
Right, but
we get judged on results.
Fail to prepare, prepare to fail.
I think our bosses check everything. Preparation, post-production. Oh, yeah, I think so.
Do they check the refrigerator?
No, that's empty.
That's different.
I got a question. Do they check your passports to see who goes to Peru?
The Peru.
And goes on retreats? That's what I want to know.
I think we're getting HR involved in the Peru excursions going forward, if any of
I just want to know, like, the league came out in no uncertain terms and said, Aaron Rodgers, if you want to go to Peru, you have our blessing. And I'm just curious, is that the case here?
We'll ask Ryan and John tomorrow if we have the blessing to go to Peru.
Right.
We'll have a team bonding experience.
The South American questions.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe like Dan, maybe you want to like let's put a ribbon on what we've talked about all week. Maybe we go 7 to 10 weeknights from Peru.
Oh, I like that.
Are they the same time zone as we are? I don't think so, right?
We could probably look it up.
Yeah, so that we would have to change a little bit, but it would be okay for us.
I mean, you would play well in the Peruvian.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
I'd be a big addition to the Peruvian atmosphere there. That's good.
I think
the community.
So. Guys, you know who's had a great camp? Just a fantastic camp from everybody that's reporting.
Yeah.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yes.
And Chris Canty talked about him on KJM as well.
My guy, Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator for the Giants, loves him. I was with Wink down in Baltimore my last 3 years in the league, and Wink reserves high praise for guys that are actually go-getters. He's not going to sit there and blow smoke about this guy can do this and that if he's not legit. And Wink is high on Kayvon Thibodeau, what he brings to the table. He's got an amazing first step. He's still trying to figure a lot of stuff out. And you know that key, that outside linebacker position in an odd front defense, there's a lot of learning that's involved at the end NFL level, but this guy has all of the raw materials, all of the tools that it takes to be a wildly successful edge pass rusher in this league.
Look, as a Giants fan, I don't know what to expect from this season. Hopefully improvement. That's not saying much. That's a pretty low bar to clear.
But lay the foundation.
Lay the foundation, especially with this defense. I mean, with Wink Martindale liking safeties to be his play callers, you're looking at probably Xavier McKinney, who's a very young safety, to be the play caller. Now, I'm sure he's perfectly capable. Kayvon Thibodeau, obviously a high pick, very highly sought after by multiple teams, and somebody that they think is going to be a major factor in a pass rush that, quite frankly, I don't think has been good since Michael Strahan left. Of course, tongue-in-cheek, there's been Justin Tuck, OCU, Manura, but you get my point. Since they've won a Super Bowl, they haven't had much of a pass rush.
You know, true story, I actually have a Wink Martindale jacket.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why?
I call it a Wink Martindale jacket.
Okay.
It's one of those, like, you know, it's plaid heavy. Thought it was a cool look, but I call it the Wink Martindale jacket because you literally look like Wink Martindale, like
sure.
You're hosting, you know, the game show from back in the day.
And now he's calling plays for the Giants.
And now he's calling plays for the Giants. Do you think most people got that in reference or not really? Do you think, like, they know the Wink Martindale? You don't know who Wink Martindale is?
I liked it. No, I get it. No.
You get it.
With working with Michael and Don.
Sure.
This joke has come up a couple times. It probably led to that.
Exactly. But do you think most people know, like, Wink Martindale, like the game show host? No?
I don't think so.
That's sad. Everybody look it up.
That's what the internet is for, boys and girls.
Yeah. Great, great game show host.
Sharpen your minds.
Let's bring back Diana Rossini from Get Up talking about the Patriots, because they're not... Usually Bill Belichick will give his first team some reps in playoff games. Not tonight. Diana, why is that?
I've never heard Mike report the way he's been reporting just about the confusion that's going on in New England, even following along with the other beat reporters on social media and peering in and, of course, having other conversations around the league and with sources I have in New England. This is not the same New England in August that we're used to. And I think that's something that we've got to wrap our heads around, that this may be the transition without Josh McDaniel may be a lot harder than perhaps what we're discussing here.
Now, we might be blowing this completely out of proportion on August 11th with the season a month away, but Bart Scott's been on this air, Bart and Hahn, 12-3, 98.7, every day. And about 3-4 weeks ago when they asked who was the worst team in the AFC East, he said the Patriots, and that is not a popular opinion. Bart doesn't have popular opinions sometimes, but more often than not, Bart Scott gets one big NFL shocking prediction correct, and you're looking at, you didn't know if it was going to be Joe Judge or Matt Patricia calling the plays.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it's going to be Matt Patricia. Second year for Mac Jones with a new offensive coordinator, relatively same team system, what have you, but he doesn't have a lot of weapons to be throwing to here. Is there a chance that the Patriots are not going to be what we expect? It's not Bill Belichick's going to figure this out this year. Is there some flaws?
I've been saying it right alongside Bart for months as well. Maybe not on this station, but to me, on paper, the Patriots have the least talented team in the division.
When's the last time we've been able to say that? Like, how long ago did the Patriots have the...
Before Parcells got there? Or maybe when Parcells first got there?
Maybe before Mike Tannenbaum was the GM of the Jets.
Easy. But 93?
But whether that's true or not, here's like the great equalizer to that comment. If we were drafting for one game right now, the quarterbacks in the AFC East, I think we'd all say Josh Allen's one, clearly. Mac Jones is two, clearly. Wilson's three, and then Tua. So to me, like, Mac Jones being the second best quarterback in this division may be the great equalizer. He took his team to the playoffs. If you carefully watched that Buffalo Bill playoff game, Mac Jones played really good football. It was the Patriot defense that never made Buffalo punt. So I think Mac Jones is being somewhat underrated. And I do think New England has some flaws on their roster, Dan. I wouldn't disagree with that. But what I would say is it's a million miles from Tom Brady. But even after all these years, New England still has like a meaningful leg up over Miami and the Jets at the quarterback position.
Until it's proved otherwise, for sure. Now the thing about it, though, is like, you know, Josh McDaniels not being there, right? Like, that's what everybody points to. He was a head coach of the Denver Broncos once upon a time. Didn't really work out that well. But if you go back to like 2009 when he left to go to Denver, Patriots didn't skip a beat. Bill O'Brien took over as the offensive coordinator and was calling the plays. But they also had Tom Brady.
That helps.
That's you know, so I think Brady's certainly way more important than whoever the hell is dialing up the plays. This time around, though, is it going to have an impact on a second-year quarterback who still really doesn't have a wealth of experience yet in the NFL? I guess only time is going to tell.
Guys, you know when somebody goes on a podcast and they put up a big, giant graphic with a picture and a giant quote of whatever that person said?
Yes.
Whether it be, you know, any of the podcasts that we have here at ESPN, go on ESPN Daily and you say something and they make
like
a big,
Oswaldo
giant,
Peraza.
Oswaldo Peraza. Big, giant block quote of Oswaldo Peraza and Boone saying that he's not coming up anytime soon, but he's next in line.
Right.
Well, Antonio Brown tweeted today. He tweeted a picture of himself.
By the way, like, if you say, can't you start, like, any story? Like, Antonio Brown tweeted today.
And everybody already started laughing.
Right.
And you already know it's going to be good because
everybody's
going to
perk up.
So anytime Antonio Brown tweets. So I thought that he was posting a picture of somebody that quoted something that he said on a show. As far as I know, the only thing it says is Antonio Brown on his biggest regret from his own Twitter. So let's read it.
Sure.
My biggest regret in my career doesn't involve calling my GM names or showing up to Raiders camp late in a hot air balloon with frozen feet or throwing rocks at that UPS driver. And it definitely doesn't involve taking my shirt off and doing a victory lap around Jet Stadium mid-game while throwing up deuces. That was fun to watch last year, by the way. My biggest regret is that I'll never... Oh, man. My biggest regret is that I'll never get to see me, Antonio Brown, play a game live. Sure. I can watch the game afterwards, but I can't imagine what that was like for you all to see something like that, like watching the Beatles or Jesus perform at Red Rocks.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thoughts?
Jesus doesn't strike me as a Red Rocks guy.
You don't think so?
No.
Mm-hmm. That's
first
what you're taking from this?
Yeah. That's the first thing. And I don't think the Beatles ever played Red Rocks, by the way.
No.
And I think that, like, if I'm thinking, like, if Jesus is going to do, like, a sold-out tour or something, and it'll be sold out probably. They'll move the tickets. I'm thinking Red Rocks probably is not going to make the cut. I could see, like, you know, his old stomping grounds probably. I could see, how about this? Anthony, I could see the Hollywood Bowl before Red Rocks. I could see, Mike, I could see Central Park before Red Rocks.
I appreciate what you're doing here because I, too, have no idea what to make of whatever that is. I mean, he thinks highly of himself, certainly.
It's just sad. I mean, it's just someone that just needs attention. I mean, it's just someone that is like crying out for attention. I mean, he is a guy with prodigious talent. You know, he literally could have been the greatest wide receiver of this generation. He was that good and that talented. And by the way, here's something else we should talk about. His post-Steeler career exemplifies the greatness of Mike Tomlin. Think about for all those years, Mike Tomlin did an unbelievable job managing. Like we talk about the role of Aaron Boone or the resurgence of Buck Showalter or where Steve Nash has come up short. We've talked a lot about that this week, guys. But you want an infomercial of like what a great coach is? The best argument to put Mike Tomlin in the Hall of Fame isn't that he's never had a losing season. To me, the best argument you can make is like the job he did at maximizing the talents of guys that, let's face it, weren't always easy to match.
Well, and that's why you can't discount the Steelers this year, even with this tremendous uncertainty at the quarterback position, right? I mean, with Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, nobody knows what he's going to be.
The hands are the problem.
Hands, the right, hands small hands.
Big problem.
So they're going to be a tough out. You know they will be. I don't know if they're a playoff team. But you know that anytime you step onto the field with them, in this case, like you're the Jets, you got to go to Pittsburgh in week four. It's not going to be easy.
But Mike T, you're so right. Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, same locker room. Really not a peep out of essentially any of them, the way that they did once their careers left Pittsburgh.
Is
a big credit to how Mike Tomlin runs a tight ship there.
Hey, let's face it. You think Ben Roethlisberger was easy to deal with?
I mean, probably not.
Yeah, so
probably not.
Yeah, and those are things like you could never quantify, never shows up in a box score, but you talk about like greatness as a coach and getting the most out of your team, that's greatness.
1,000%. 1,000%.
So Antonio Brown loves attention. You know who doesn't love attention? This guy.
2-1 to Gallo. Bringing a fly ball to left center field. Well hit on its way, and it is gone! Oh, run! Joey Gallo with a pinch hit three-run home run.
AM 570 LA Sports last night, Joey Gallo, pinch hit, even the announcers were laughing, pinch hit, three-run home run. Look, it's well documented that Joey Gallo had a rough time in New York. I told you this, Dan, opposite field home run for Joey Gallo. You know how many opposite field home runs he had with the Yankees?
Not a lot.
Zero. No opposite field home runs. So look, I don't know what it is about New York. It gets everybody eventually, but certain athletes, whether it's just the pressure or feeling the need to be. Now, I believe that his parents were born in Bensonhurst, so he, quote-unquote, from New York. Probably, certainly didn't grow up here. But something about New York, the Yankees, the pressure, it just didn't work for him. And it's not like he's tearing the cover off the ball in L.A. I think he's 4-for-15 with 8 strikeouts. But guess what? That 3-run home run was probably the difference in the game for them, for the Dodgers last night. So,
but if it wasn't Joey Gallo, somebody else would have hit it.
Yeah.
That's just the way the Dodgers rolled this year.
It's so funny that you mentioned the Cali thing, by the way. Can we just take a listen to Joey real quick?
Yeah, I'm living by the beach right now, so that's pretty nice compared to New York.
He's been there for, 5 days?
And he's got a beach
spot.
Now
he's already got the surfer dude thing going? He was in Texas for years. He was in New York. I didn't hear any York.
But he grew up in Vegas.
Nothing like this.
New York.
I didn't hear that.
He grew up in Vegas, though, so that's kind of West Coast-ish.
Grew up in Vegas, so he's definitely embracing the beach culture out there. And Mike, like you said, some guys, New York's too big of a place for them, or it's tougher for them, or whatever it is, and the change of scenery really does help them.
Aren't those places, though, like the beach places, aren't they all, like, sold out already? Like, you would think out there?
How do you get an apartment over there?
Yeah, how do you get you get traded over to the Dodgers. How do you get, like, a pad that instantaneously right by the beach like that?
Well, you have people that work for the organization, so you get them short-term housing. Basically, you know, when you make a trade like that, you want them to come in and just focus on their craft, do what you have to do, we'll take care of everything, pay all your bills, like in terms of like utilities and all that. Like you play baseball, we'll handle everything else.
You pay their bills?
Well, what you do like one-stop shopping. Like they have those executive places where you just literally show up. Like bring your toothbrush, we got everything else.
Wow. That's pretty amazing, actually.
I got to get traded.
You got to get traded?
Yeah.
What did they do that?
Hold on a second. Like, Chertoff's gone, but like let's say the fan would trade for you. Like what would ESPN get?
I don't know. Got to ask him. I don't negotiate.
I was wondering if you got your if you just had to bring your toothbrush here today, and John and Ryan said we'll take care of everything else. You haven't been traded, but you're now an integral part of the nighttime programming.
Yeah, but how long does that? How long would the fan get?
I don't know. Well, why does it have to be them? It could be somebody else.
Could be
anybody.
Surely.
Like Saskatchewan?
No.
Oh wow.
There's other media ventures in the city, not just radio.
The taxes for Saskatchewan would just be. That would just be tough to
figure out. The cost of living would probably be a lot easier, though, in Saskatchewan as opposed to here.
Certainly, you won't get a beach. You won't be getting beach view.
No, you could get a pond, and then you could do a lot of ice fishing.
Sure.
Starting in, like, late October, probably, up until, you know, May.
You can make that your hobby.
You know, Molson would probably sponsor your show.
There you go.
Wow, look at what we're accomplishing.
Little
here.
Labatt's, maybe,
yeah,
or something?
You haven't even started 7 to 10. You're already on your way out.
Wow.
We'll tell Marchand. Anyway, Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson on Bart and Hahn.
Remember that?
Remember, he had his press conference at MSG with Bill Pito, who did a fantastic job.
For MSG.
For MSG, I should say. And Bill Pito did a great job. Love Bill. Mm-hmm. But he was on with Bart and Hahn, and they asked him, how does it feel to be back in New York?
I'm definitely excited to be back. I'm definitely excited to contribute to a place where I know very well. I'm from just down 95. It's a special thing. And the fact that I know the people here, I've had relationships with some of the players, coaches, and the front office, is bringing things full circle. So I'm very excited to be here.
Comfortability, obviously a theme here, because we talked about how with Joey Gallo, he never really did get comfortable here. If you're from this area or you know people from this area and you get what is expected of you, especially as a Knick, To be a player, that is going to become a Knick and have to hear
Bing Bong
and all this after a triple double overtime first game of the season against the Eastern Conference champions, then
the eventual
Eastern Conference champion Boston Celtics. There's going to be a lot of pressure, and Jalen Brunson understands that it is different.
I knew it because I kind of grew up in it, but to actually go through it is different. But if I didn't think I was ready for it, I don't think I would be here. I think I'm mentally and physically prepared for anything, honestly. So it's really nothing to me. And if I keep the mentality like I have my entire career, entire life, that nothing really phases me, then I think I'll be all right.
No much more pressure than being the point guard of the New York Knicks. But Jalen Brunson says he sees himself as a leader.
I think that's one thing I always bring to the table is a voice. I've been a leader my entire life. I was raised by my parents to be a leader, not a follower. And so that's kind of been put into my DNA. I don't really know how to explain it. It's just how I've always been. I've always been a person that's vocal. I've always been a person that kind of not tell people what to do, but knowing my audience and know how to talk to certain people to try to get everyone on the same page. That's just how I've always been. And that's how I want to continue to be.
Nice to hear from Brunson saying all the right things as far as I'm concerned.
Jalen Brunson and Joey Gallo have something in common, you know that?
What is that?
They both have a beach house. Jalen Brunson has one at the Jersey Shore.
Is that right?
That's 100% accurate.
Wow.
Now, lots of questions. Like, does he have to pay his own utilities?
No, yes, he does now because it's his. This is one that he bought with his own hard-earned money. It's not like he was traded. No, it's all his.
Yeah, I'm sure his dad helped him out a little bit. Kind of scope out the area.
Helped him out with the garage.
At the garage.
Cleaned out right. The garage.
Exactly. Taking a look at Tom Brady, he's always nice to be in the news. Coach Todd Bowles said today that Tom Brady's going to be away from the team to deal with some personal things. It was already planned out. This is not something that was shocking to the Buccaneers, but he'll return after the August 20th preseason game against the Tennessee Titans. And it was already announced previously that Brady wouldn't play in the preseason opener against the Dolphins, so... It's not like Brady was going to play, just I think an interesting story that he won't be there.
Do we read anything more into that, though, guys?
Well,
about him missing 2 weeks?
Yeah, I'm sure what that is like, look, I'll come at the beginning of camp. I'll get reps with Russell Gage and Julio Jones, and then I want a little time off with my family, maybe get the kids back to school. And, I'm sure that was all worked out ahead of time. I'm sure he's going to do some throwing with Gronk while he's gone, so... if it was anybody but Tom Brady, he'd say, wow, that's a big chunk of camp. But, like, at his age, like, he's going to work out. He's going to know what to do. Like, he's the one guy that could get away with this.
I think you know he's taking care of himself.
Yeah, and I'm sure this was, like, part of the deal. Like, hey, when I come back, fellas, like, I don't want to go through training camp. You know, I got a couple of summers left with some of my kids. I want to go on a trip with them. And what are the Buccaneers going to say? No.
Yeah. But I think they take him back.
But it just seems like very un-Brady-like to just up and leave. You're like,
that's my point. I'm sure he's not upping and leaving. I'm sure this was something that they planned. And candidly, like, with the way, like, meetings can be on Zoom, he may not even miss any meetings. Like, he may be with his family during the day and he could pop on, watch tape at night. They're already probably working on some of the game plan for opening day against, Dallas. So He'll probably start watching Dallas tape. You know, he's not going to play for the next couple of weeks. So I don't think this is the end of the world. And I'm sure for him, he's like, I got 4 months left in my football regular seasons. I'm going to be ready to go for Dallas. I could take 2 more weeks off. And if you're Todd Bowles, like, obviously you wouldn't do this for anybody else except for, you know, Tom Brady.
We have one more story.
Yeah.
I know we're a little over, but
that's all
on
good,
this
though.
Day, 7 years ago, and thank you to Dan for pointing it out to me, was the day that Todd Bowles held a press conference to say that Geno Smith had a fractured jaw and would miss at least 6 weeks. And what happened on that day? IKM Collie punched him in the face over $600.
Can you imagine with inflation, if that happened today, how much you probably would have owed him? Then think about how much worse the damage could have been.
And the rest essentially is history, because Geno never ended up starting again. Ryan Fitzpatrick took over, and that was that. And now Geno Smith's battling for a job with Seattle.
And apparently he's the leader in the clubhouse from what you hear in Seattle. You believe that?
Yeah, Geno Smith's a talented guy. Like, that doesn't shock me.
And the funny thing about it, though, is like that year, that's really like the only success the Jets have had in a very, very long time, and yet they still ultimately came up short. You know, they won their 10 games, but they lost
that game against the Bills.
Yeah, that last game against the Bills. But still, they won 10 games. Fitzpatrick and Brandon Marshall and Decker, they like set like franchise records offensively that year. Just a wild, wild few months that was in 2015.
Absolutely, and that will do it for ENN.
That's
on
a good ENN.
Thursday evening.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.